Welcome to Bible Chapter Every Day. I'm Matthew. Our chapter today is Zechariah 9. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, the perfect King, the humble King, who is victorious without the need for human power and human equipment. We want His rule in our lives. We only want it to grow and continue to be greater. Thank you. Amen. Zechariah 9. An Oracle. The word of Yahweh is against the land of Hadrach, and Damascus is its resting place. For to Yahweh belongs the eye of humankind, and all the tribes of Israel, and also Hamath, which borders on it. Tyre and Sidon, yes, they are very wise. Tyre has built a fortification for itself, and it heaped up silver like dust, and gold like the mud of the streets. Look, the Lord will drive it out, and will hurl its outer ramparts into the sea, and it will be consumed by fire. Ashkelon will see and will be afraid, and Gaza will writhe exceedingly, and Ekron also, because its hope is ruined. And the king from Gaza will perish, and Ashkelon will not be inhabited. A mongrel people will dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut down the pride of the Philistines. I will remove its blood from its mouth, and its abominations from between its teeth. And it too will be a remnant for our God. And it will be like a tribal chief in Judah, and Ekron will be like the Jebusite. But I will encamp at my temple like a guard against those crossing through and returning. No oppressor will cross through them again, for now I have seen with my own eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion! Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem! Look, your king comes to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble, and riding on a donkey, and on a male donkey, the foal of a female donkey. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be cut down, and he will announce peace to the nations. His dominion will be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will release your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to the fortress, O prisoners of hope. Today I am declaring that I will repay you double. For I have bent Judah as my bow. I have set Ephraim as an arrow. I will set in motion your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Javan. I will wield you like the sword of a warrior. Then Yahweh will appear over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. And my Lord Yahweh will blow the trumpet, and he shall go out in the storm winds of the south. Yahweh of hosts will defend them, and they will devour and subdue the sling stones. They will drink, they will make noise like wine, and they will be full like the sacrificial basin, drenched like the corners of an altar. And Yahweh their God will save them on that day as the flock of his people, for they are like the stones of a diadem glittering on his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty! Grain will make the young men thrive, and new wine the young women. Well, that's the reading. Let's dig in. The book of Zechariah started with 8 visions after the introduction, and then in chapter 7 we had a question that some people raised, if they should continue mourning every year. From the context, we gather that they were mourning about the destruction of Jerusalem. And God responded with several things. He asked, who were they really mourning for, Yahweh or themselves? And he pointed out that the destruction of Jerusalem was because of the people's sin and was prophesied by many prophets ahead of time. And then Yahweh told them that he's going to make Jerusalem great again. He said he will turn those times of mourning into times of rejoicing. He also talked about their part in the process, which was to do good to other people and to keep their oaths. And then Yahweh went further than just Jerusalem being restored to say that the Gentiles will join themselves to the Jews to worship Yahweh. Now this chapter begins a section of poetic words from Yahweh. The chapter begins with an oracle, which some translations translate burden, because the word is also used for a burden. So this is a weighty matter that God is revealing. And it starts by talking about some nearby nations that Yahweh is against. He starts with Syria, which was northeast of Israel, and then he moves to Tyre and Sidon, which is northwest of Israel. He says they're so wise and rich, but God will destroy them. And then to Philistia, which was to the west and south of Israel, he says he will take them down and remove their idol worship. But, he says, some will turn to God, and he specifically mentions the city of Ekron. But in contrast to all these nations around, Yahweh will be with Jerusalem and guard it. And then he talks about bringing the king. We have to remember that at this time they did not have a king, because they were under the authority of Persia, so they just had a governor. But he looks forward to this king coming. He is victorious, but also humble, riding in on a donkey instead of a horse and chariot with a show of force. In fact, Yahweh says he will take away all the horses and chariots from Israel. This king will rule to the farthest extent Israel has ever ruled, even to the ends of the earth, and he will release the prisoners. He mentions defeating Javan, which usually means Greece in the Bible. At the time of this writing, Greece was not a major player in this area of the world, so this may be speaking generally about the faraway nations. The point is that Yahweh will save them and give them victory, and they will have plenty of food. And now for a deeper dive. This is probably the best-known chapter in the book of Zechariah, because it is pointed out by the gospel writers that Jesus fulfilled this when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people put their coats and palm branches on the road before him. And today it's called Palm Sunday. Jesus very intentionally did that to show them that he was fulfilling this prophecy. Not that Jesus was just checking a box off to be the Messiah. He was doing this so that they would look at this passage and see that it applies to Jesus. Not one little action, but the whole of Jesus' ministry was the humble king. No horses and chariots, yet he was victorious. And this part about defeating Javan or Greece, I can't be sure what it means. But in the time of Jesus and the apostles, the time of the New Testament, Greek was the common language. And we could point to Paul going to Greece and preaching and arguing with the Greek philosophers and bringing Jesus to conquer their hearts. And today, Jesus reigns through the whole earth, and he is bringing peace to those who trust in him. His rule is only visible now to those who have faith, but we can see the fulfillment right now. And it will become more obvious in the future, perhaps in some physical ways that this passage points out that are not obvious to me now. But I see enough to know that this is amazing, even what we have now. Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible. Copyright 2012, Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software.